Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points. And it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com promo code TOPPER, promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had. All right, 6 days to go, and the all-important midterm elections. I've been warning you, three possible outcomes. Linda, what are they? Three possible outcomes on election day. Now, by the way, 1 week from today, we will be talking about the results. So it will either be a full-out, complete victory where the Republicans keep the Senate and also hang on to the House. That's one. What's two and three?
Is this ventriloquism?
Yes, it is. What's two?
It's a split decision.
Split decision, meaning?
We get the Senate, they get the House.
And we pick up seats in the Senate, yes.
Perhaps.
Three. What's number three?
Annihilation.
Is that what you're calling it now?
I call it annihilation.
You call it annihilation?
This is going to be a joke. I am not playing.
I will be in an ambulance for sure.
I'm about to f***ing tell myself that I'm not kidding. You better f***ing fix this shit right now. I literally am going to die. I need an ambulance.
Let me tell you what is happening, because it is so insane out there right now. That is, by the way, Jason's favorite.
Favorite. I think it's my favorite.
I mean, that poor girl. Did we ever find out if she got the help that she desperately needed?
Well, she wasn't
that
much in desperate need. She was too busy making a YouTube video. I think if I was in desperate need, I wouldn't be making a
There's
YouTube video.
There's a video of that?
Yes, it's on YouTube.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't spend all my day
bringing it into
YouTube.
You on the break. You can watch it.
I think there's just videos and videos of Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, she's a Bernie Sanders supporter, right?
He melted down, yes.
Well, by the way, Bernie got ripped off in the last election. I mean,
oh,
in the primary.
Please. He was totally in on it.
I don't think he was in on it. I think he got ripped off and didn't have the courage to fight back with Hillary. And
back up, you creep.
Exactly.
He had to go and buy another beach house. He was busy.
Well, let me tell you what's happening now. 6 days out of the election, and your corrupt news media is so vested, so on, they are literally salivating at the thought and the hope that Nancy Pelosi becomes the Speaker of the House, that they can take the House and maybe the Senate, maybe we can do it. And what they've decided to do, And I've been following this, and I warn you every election year what they do. They have one playbook. It's all about demonization. Republicans, racist, sexist, misogynist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, dirty air water, kill children, throw granny over the cliff. But it's way over that now. And we've seen, you know, let's look at this horrific anti-Semitic, you know, bigoted, racist attack on innocent people in the synagogue in Pittsburgh. Let me play just the media blaming Trump. Now, understand that the shooter hates Trump. The shooter hates Trump in large part because he's such a staunch supporter of Israel. And yet that doesn't stop them from collectively losing their minds, ramping up this hatred and rhetoric, blaming Trump for the synagogue shooting. But yet the guy involved in the shooting hates the president in large part because he is so closely aligned with our closest ally, Israel.
The terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, up to the right. And we have to start doing something about them.
Yeah, if you guys stop saying mean things about me, I'll stop inciting angry lunatics to kill you. Deal?
Whether the president knew what he was saying, the alleged gunman certainly heard something that resonated.
What Trump is doing is stoking and inciting, for the purposes of political power, the worst amongst us to take action in his name. Anybody who sits there and says that there is not causality between these events and the incitements is as dishonest as they are blind.
I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to draw the lines between these people and the rhetoric that is being parroted by the president of the United States right now.
The racists and the anti-Semites think that he's perfectly tolerant of racial violence and anti-Semitic violence.
It is all factually a lie because the guy hates Trump. All the evidence is there why he hated Trump. Hated him because of his support for our closest ally, Israel. How many presidents promised to move the capital of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, where it belongs? Many, none had the courage to do it except this president. You know, it's amazing when you listen to the prime minister of Israel thanking the president. No president has gone as far to say, we will destroy the enemies of Israel because they're our closest ally. Just the opposite of what they are reporting and what they're trying to do. Look, it would have been dishonest, and I said it at the time when Bernie Sanders supporters went out there and shot Steve Scalise on the ball field and shot up these other innocent people. You know, it would have been wrong to blame Bernie Sanders. Bernie is not responsible for what one of his crazy supporters did. He's just not. It's intellectually dishonest to suggest such a thing. I said it at the time. And I even said at the time, this is not some accommodation or rationale they would ever give it if it's a conservative. Just the opposite. In this case, you don't even have a Trump supporter, and they're still blaming him. I mean, you know, it is what it is. The biggest donors to the Democratic cause this election season is the media. It is universal almost at this point. They hate Donald Trump every second, every minute, every hour, every day. It is hate, destroy Trump at all costs. You know, the whole lie about Russian collusion, it's just what I've been saying. They don't care about Russia collusion unless it's Trump. Hillary bought and paid for a dossier full of Russian lies used to disseminate propaganda and influence the American people in the lead up to 2016. It was used to get FISA warrants, unverified, uncorroborated Russian lies that even the author of the dossier doesn't even stand by. Let me tell you something. Let's remember when the media bashed Trump, a lot of them, for moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And the president went against, in many ways, what is a new alliance forming that could be, maybe at some point, God willing, a path to peace in the Middle East once and for all because of the threat of Iranian hegemony in the region. It's now caused an alliance that was unthinkable maybe just a number of years back with Israel, the Jordanians, Egyptians, the Saudis, the Emirates, putting aside what Saudi Arabia recently did. I mean, there was an emerging alliance here because of Donald Trump in large part and what he's done. But I will tell you, you know, let's play Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough, who's lost his mind. It's honestly, I don't even, it's inexplicable that this guy has evolved into what I think is just, he's lost any sense of reality. All of these people in the media, they don't even see what blind hypocrites they are, how they are guilty of the very thing they accuse Trump of. The rhetoric that they feign moral outrage about, but they're guilty of.
He's been playing the racist card. He said, I'm a nationalist. David Duke comes out the next day saying, thank you so much for finally admitting that you're a white nationalist. And then you have even some Republican backbenchers that are linking George Soros and these anti-Semitic threads to the caravan. You got Fox News talking about smallpox and leprosy coming up. It is, I'm sorry, I won't say specifically what regime this is out of, but go back and read your history books and look at some of the most abhorrent regimes of the 20th century. Might as well be certain countries talking about gypsies. Mm-hmm. It lines up historically exactly with what certain countries were talking about when they were talking about gypsies and Jews.
You know, I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore. You know, Don Lemon last night or the night before, whenever, I think it was last night. Listen to what he says.
So we have to stop demonizing people and
stop demonizing.
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right. And we have to start doing something about them. There is no travel ban on them. There is no ban on, you know, they had the Muslim ban. There is no white guy ban. So what do we do about that?
I don't even know what to say. You know, and then their morning host suggesting that Trump and the synagogue shooter are using the same language.
Midterm messaging, we'll start with, from the president. So he seems to be zeroing in on the two pillars of the media, continuing his vitriolic attacks against the media, and migrants. Mm-hmm. Continuing to, in fact, ratchet up the language about them. And frankly, I mean, I have to say it, using some of the same language that the mass murderer at the synagogue used in terms of invaders and invasion. These tragedies work at cross purposes with his narrative.
Right.
So it's hard for him to celebrate his narrative of vilifying migrants when, again, the alleged mass murderer did the same thing.
You know, I don't even know where to go with this. You know, Joyless Behar, not even on her show The View, but on conspiracy TV, MSNBC.
You've also at times gotten along with him, as you've known.
Who knew he was such a psycho? I liked the guy in a way. It was like, oh, he's a New York character. He's not a Republican or a Democrat. He's just an anarchist, as far as I'm concerned.
Hmm.
And I don't mean that in an ad hominem sort of way.
No, not at all. Let me tell you what it means. They are afraid. They look, there are three scenarios, as I said, for election night. We'll be examining the results 1 week from today on this radio program. And there is an unknown factor here. Anyone that tells you they know what's going to happen doesn't. There's not one outcome, to be very frank with you, that would surprise me 1 week from today when we gather here to talk about the results. But I do know this. I do see fear at a level that is unprecedented. They never saw Trump coming. They never understood it. The election day 2016, they were in a state of shock. And it was not only shock, it was obvious sadness, depression, you know, CNN, a white lash, you know, against the country, etc. You know, that's not, it is, they in the back of their head really fear you, the American people, and what you're going to decide. Every race matters. There's 435 House races. You vote for any Democrat or you stay home, you're voting for Pelosi as the next speaker. All these important Senate races, Florida, Tennessee, Texas, Ted Cruz, Claire McCaskill, Josh Hawley, Missouri, Nevada, Arizona, Montana, North Dakota, Indiana, New Jersey, West Virginia. They're afraid of what the results are going to be. I'm not afraid of any result. I can deal with whatever hand the American people deal us. But a couple of quick questions. Are you better off than you were 2 years ago? Is the country better off? Is the economy better off? Maybe you don't like Donald Trump's style. Are you happy with the results? Are you happy with 4 million jobs created? 8 million fewer people on food stamps and in poverty? Are you happy with less government regulation, the largest tax cuts in history? Promises about justices fulfilled. $3.5 billion so far spent on the border wall. He wants the other $25 billion. Are you happier that we have an American president that's not dropping cargo planes of cash on the runways of mullahs in Iran? Are you happy a guy took on Little Rocket Man and won and gave up nothing? That's what's at stake. And the media won't tell you that because they're invested.
$10,000. Hannity listeners, this is for you. The United States Concealed Carry Association wants to send you on the ultimate gun getaway. That's right. You could win $10,000 to take the patriotic trip you've always dreamed of. And all you have to do is text CARRY to 87222 for your 100% free chance to win. You could go on a wild African safari, attend an elite firearms training academy, or even shoot exotic rifles at a VIP tactical shooting experience. With 10 grand in your pocket, the sky's the limit. But you only have until the 23rd to enter, so you must hurry. Just text CARRY to the number 87222 right now for our official rules and to instantly lock in your free chance to win your ultimate gun getaway. Imagine what you could do and where you could go with 10 grand, and entering only takes a few seconds. So what are you waiting for? Text CARRY to the number 87222. That's the word CARRY, C-A-R-R-Y, to 87222. Don't miss this.
All right, it's getting a little crazy. Claire McCaskill, this I'm enjoying. Well, first of all, she's fighting fellow Democrats that she's calling in ads crazy, and the Democrats are mad about that, and I'll get to that in a second. But now, with her poll numbers sagging going into the last week of the campaign, now Claire McCaskill is getting more desperate. Now she's begging Missouri voters to believe her when she says, I support President Trump 100% on securing the border. Well, that's odd because I don't think I've ever heard Claire McCaskill ever chant or talk about building that wall, even once. Anyway, she told fake news CNN that she supports the president 100% to do what it takes to secure the border. Quote, the impression he's given Missourians, I had a cousin from Missouri, they used Missouri. Why do some people say Missouri, others say Missouri?
Missouri.
All right, well, you don't count because you have a language all of your own, which is...
I would call them Missourians.
Which is called Philly street talk, you know, with an added flavor of New York.
You're welcome.
I support the president 100%. Oh, that's desperation. That's really desperation. I can't wait to see what she might say tomorrow. The president's right on everything. I just happen to vote the wrong way every single time for the last 2 years. We have some new polls out of Florida finding the Senate and governor's races there statistically tied. Florida's the one state I'm worried about in terms of both the Senate and I don't understand this obsession with Gillum. By the way, he stuck taxpayers apparently with travel costs. Here's how fundraising. Well, I thought he was getting a lot of money from. Oh, that's right. We have breaking news on Gillum tonight, don't we? Oh, undercover tape? Hannity? 9 Eastern. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. What have I been saying? That a vote for any Democrat is a vote for Pelosi. I'd say with, if you look at Real Clear Politics, 204 locked in, seemingly leaning likely Democrat on the House side and 199 locked in Republican side. You have all these 30 some odd races that are now going to tip the balance of power for the House. conventional wisdom says that Nancy Pelosi becomes the next speaker, I don't look at the polls quite the same way. Nancy Pelosi picking out the drapes for her new office was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, predicting Democrats would win big in the midterms. Let me say this. Up until today, I would have said if the election were held today, we will win. Now I'm saying is we will win, we will win, we will win, she added. Colbert a bit freaked out by Pelosi's confidence. Please don't say that. Do you want to say that on Hillary's fireworks barge that she canceled? Later performed the sign of the cross on his chest and adding, I feel like I should sacrifice a goat or something to take the hex off of what you just said. But Pelosi's still adamant. Democrats will carry the House if we have a bigger victory. The Senate, the governorships, it's going to be a great night for America. Okay, well, she can predict all she wants, but that would be in the hands of the American people. We're highlighting these races up on Hannity.com that will tip the balance of power in the House of Representatives. All of these Senate races are very, very close, looking much better on the Senate side for Republicans. 45 retirements is a lot. That means a lot of new faces. Southern California, later on, we'll check in with Congresswoman Mimi Waters of California's 45th Congressional District. You know, they've got literally between Dana Rohrabacher and these Darrell Issa's old seat, you know, former New York City mayor. Mayor Bloomberg just spent, what, $9 million in Southern California alone. We also have a tough battle going on in Washington State in the 8th District. Dina Rossi will step in and check in with us a little bit later. In Iowa's 3rd District, we got a fight going on there. A lot of outside money coming in as well against David Young. And he joins us now. Apparently, you know, I love these people on the Democratic side. They're all saying the same thing, healthcare, healthcare. By the way, welcome to the program, David Young. Appreciate you being with us. But they're the same people that gave us, didn't they give us Obamacare? Keep your doctor, keep your plan, and save money?
Well, that proved not to be true, right? And so they want to double down on health care. Medicare for all sounds great, but what does that do with the deficit and the debt and rationing health care? And it's risky for seniors because they should be the priority when there's Medicare. And so there's a lot of scare tactics out there, Sean. And what I'm hearing on the ground is we have to keep the prosperity going, the economy going the way it is. We have 2.5% unemployment rate in Iowa, Sean. And correcting the record with these lies, and it's textbook cookie-cutter messages from Nancy Pelosi across the country, and that is scaring seniors regarding Social Security and Medicare. Nobody's acted to cut that. And then lying about there not being any protections for those with pre-existing conditions, and we had those protections, four layers of it, in our Republican health care bill.
Yeah, a lot of it. Listen, lying is just a part of it. The playbook of the Democrats is always the same. I even think it's gotten worse. You know, look at this horrible terrorist attack and the shooting that took place in this Pittsburgh synagogue, and what has the media been out there blaming Donald Trump for it? And meanwhile, the guy responsible for the shooting hated Trump in large part because of his strong support for Israel, including moving the capital to Jerusalem, where it belongs. Well, it's interesting. So what is your take? I mean, how are people reacting? I assume you're getting a fortune of negative ads thrown at you, and how are the people of Iowa reacting to it?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting outspent about 4-1 from my opponent and Nancy Pelosi and the super PACs out there. So it's message versus money. My opponent, all her money is coming from out the east and the left and the west coast. Message over money and results, right? Results. Look what we have done with this economy. On the national, international stage as well, with the president when it comes to sitting down with North Korea, heading for denuclearization, we would hope. Making sure that, yeah, we did move that embassy from Tel Aviv to Israel. Promises kept. And being that shining light on the hill, where there was a lot of darkness for a long time, still is, but we shine brighter. We lead in the world. Others will follow. More prosperity and peace. You want to go backwards? That's how important this election is right now.
I think it's about a lot of things.
We get our vote out.
Look, I think a vote for any Democrat in any district, 435 House seats up for grabs, is a vote for Pelosi, because your opponent will vote for Nancy Pelosi and vote with her, I'm sure, 98% of the time, just like in the Senate. If you vote for any Democrat, you're voting for Schumer. To me, a lot of it is, you know, look at the elimination of due process, presumption of innocence during the Kavanaugh hearings. Look at the agenda of Democrats is it's out there. They want their crumbs back. They want the taxes, the tax cuts that are putting a lot of money in the pockets of middle class Americans. They want it back. They want to eliminate ICE, open borders. They want to keep Obamacare. And how they're running on health care is just the definition of just audacity, considering they literally, how many, there are counties I read in Iowa that have seen 200% increases in their premiums. People lost their doctors and plans, and they have one health care option. That's it. One provider.
That's it. Yeah. And those that are paying it are paying $20,000 to $30,000 a year for their premiums. Their deductibles are so high, they can't even, they just risk it and don't even go to a doctor. But you're exactly right. My opponent, we had three opportunities to distance herself from Nancy Pelosi, and she said she couldn't think of an issue where they could be separated. So what's that mean? She's a rubber stamp for hopefully not a Speaker Pelosi, but increase in taxes, open borders, doubling down on government-run health care, and of course what they've tried to keep under the rug, Sean, and you know this and our listeners know this, impeachment.
Mm-hmm. No, that an endless investigation, but not into the deep state. Which, of course, you know, we've seen massive abuses of power, not rank and file FBI agents, not rank and file Justice Department and intelligence people, but they do their job every day. But just a few abusing power at the highest levels, the upper echelon. Well, listen, this is an important race. It's on our top 30. We have the top 70 races. If you want to go to our interactive map at Hannity.com and the most important House races that will tip the balance of power 6 days from now and 1 week from today, we'll be talking about those results. Certainly, David Young, Iowa's 3rd District, is one of those important races. We wish you the best in this race.
We can't take anything for granted. Go to DavidYoungForIowa.com to volunteer and help us make sure we keep the majority. Thank you, Sean, for all you do.
You bet. Welcome. All the best to you in 6 days. It's tough out there. Nobody can predict with certainty, but I will tell you, you know, I just, there's something about, something's not clicking with me. And you never really have a feel for how the House is going to go. 2010 might be an exception where, I mean, it was a massive landslide and you could see it coming. Same thing I would argue when Bill Clinton became president in 1994. Remember, Republicans had been out of power for 40 years and Newt Gingrich became the Speaker of the House. You know, so if you look at history, and this is what Republicans are up against, they have 45 retirements and a headwind of history that usually the party in power loses a lot of seats in the first midterm. But then, like in the case of Bill Clinton, it was Newt Gingrich's, in many ways, Newt's saving of Clinton because things got better. Because Newt Gingrich forced Clinton into what led to balanced budgets and serious reforms in Washington. And I think the same thing, you know, if you go to Obama, I mean, it was just a wipeout in 2010, especially after Obamacare. And, you know, the fact that Democrats, that's their main talking point now. This is really fascinating today. There's a Rasmussen poll out today. I had to go back and double check it, showing that African-American support for the president has now hit an all-time high of 40%. I mean, that's a 500% improvement if you go back to Election Day 2016 when he got 8% of the African-American vote in the country. In the same survey, Trump's approval rating stays at its highest at this point in the 50% plus range. And I think the highest level of support for any Republican going back to at least Dwight Eisenhower, if not before. And, you know, the media likes to go after Rasmussen. I don't know why. He's a great guy and a smart pollster. But, you know, they say, oh, he's a right-wing polling operation. But I do remind you that Rasmussen was the most accurate poll in 2016. So if that is even close to 40%, that could have a profound impact on the midterm elections. But, again, it's all out there. Now, interesting developments as it relates to the issue of the caravan. And I think some people have been over the top in what they've been saying about it. It's a lot of distance between here and where they started at the southern border of Mexico. And now you have, and I look, this is how I see most people that come into this country illegally. I think that most people come here because we are a land of milk and honey, hope and opportunity, and the American dream. And when you live in poverty in countries that have little to zero opportunity and freedom, it's very appealing to come to America. Now, we're only asking that you do it legally. We're only asking that you respect our laws, our sovereignty, our borders. And I'd venture a guess that 99.8% of the people in that caravan want a better life, and that they've been told that they're going to be able to get into America. That's not going to happen. The president's been very clear. The leftist media are pushing a narrative that the thousands of migrants and from Central America and elsewhere are fleeing violence in their homeland. But in an interview with National Public Radio on Monday, the Mexican ambassador to the U.S. described some of the people, some, probably a tiny, tiny percentage. Let me be clear, 0.2%. Or, you know, less, or Sarah Carter reporting that she identified MS-13 members because of their tattoos. That'd be a giveaway. But actually, the Mexican ambassador to the U.S. describes some, I'm sure a tiny percentage, as very violent. Now, nobody can vouch for any one person that wants to cross the border. We're asking that people come here legally. If we had a border wall, we wouldn't have a risk of thousands of people at once coming across the border. The president has sent 5,200 troops down there, and he's not going to let them in, nor can he, because there'll be thousands and thousands behind them. We don't have room to take in everybody. We have a right as a country. We have sovereignty. We're a nation built on a constitutional republic system, the rule of law, and we have border laws, and we ask that people respect our borders and our sovereignty and just come in legally. And we have an opportunity to vet them and make sure that they are coming for the right reasons. They can sustain themselves and they don't want to bring harm to our citizens that are already here. Nearly, according to one border official telling the Washington Examiner, 3/4 of the caravan that is traveling through Mexico to the U.S. are adult men, according to a senior Border Patrol officer telling the Examiner. Families and unaccompanied children make up about 20%, 20 to 30% of the caravan. Roy Villarreal is the deputy chief patrol agent for the Border Patrol San Diego sector. The rest of that is single adult males, he goes on to say. Mexico now has shut down a lot of their public transportation, so the people in the caravan would have to walk, which, you know, literally weeks away. And they've also offered temporary work permits to the migrants who register for asylum, which I think is a very, you know, Mexico's been far tougher on illegal immigrants than we ever dreamed of being. It's just sad that so many, you know, one of the things that America, when the president talks about America first, we've got to get every American out of poverty first. We got to give every American their own opportunity. By the way, all of this at stake 6 days from now. We've got to take care of our American family first. And that only enriches us to help others as well. And we're the most generous country on earth. As I've said so many times, there's been no country on the face of this earth that has accumulated more power and abused it less and used it more for the advancement of humankind around the world, paying the price for freedom in so many different ways than the United States. So much at stake here. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. We'll check in with some of the other, you know, tipping point races throughout the day. Newt Gingrich is going to join us. Well, he's going to stay the hour, and we're going to take calls in the second half hour of the next hour, get his take. He's a little more optimistic than me. I just don't know. But I have a feeling there's always this question. Donald Trump has changed all the rules in politics. I don't think a lot of Trump supporters are going to be telling pollsters they're going to the polls. I don't think they're going to take their call. And if they find out it's a pollster, they're going to hang up. Because that's what I would do, but I've never gotten any such call. Newt Gingrich joins us. Here we are just, what, 6 short days until the all-important midterm elections. Mr. Speaker, hi, how are you? Welcome back to the program.
Well, I'm glad to be back, and I think the national debate we're having is, frankly, very healthy. For a long time, conservatives allowed the liberal media to say and do anything they wanted to, and we were supposed to pretend it was okay. And I think it's healthy to be taking them head on and saying, wait a second, this stuff's just not true. To me, the stunning thing, by the way, is how little they've been willing to learn.
You know,
even when we can prove it's not true,
listen,
they just can't learn.
And just to be fair, I mean, there have been times you think that, you know, maybe I go too far with something, and you've told me maybe this isn't going to work out well for you, Hannity. I'm not sure you should continue down this road, but, you know, you say it as a friend and a, you know, a mentor to me over the years. And I just watch the media today, and they're so abusively biased and corrupt and one-sided. They wake up every second of every day. It's become every second, every minute, every hour of every day now. Hate Trump. Hate Trump. And it's really their business model more than anything else, and it's not particularly a successful one. You know, if the latest ratings mean everything, we're number one in cable, and we beat CNN and MSNBC, the Fox News channel does combined. So I don't think it's working well for them.
You know, but I think it's way beyond profit and loss. I think this is a cultural thing. If you were to walk into a typical left-wing news media, New York Times, Washington Post, even big, you know, the big networks, CBS, ABC, NBC, and you were wearing a Make America Great Again hat, you wouldn't have a job by the end of the day. The newsroom would gang against you.
Look, I think they would, and I think it's accurate. But, you know, the president's bypassing the media, and I think he's been very effective at it. I mean, the fact that the media has been, I don't think we've had a more pro-Israel president than Donald Trump, one that has shown a lot of courage, making Jerusalem the capital, which so many other presidents before him have done. But we have this terrible act of terror in the synagogue in Pittsburgh, and they want to blame him. I've been blamed. Mark Levin has been blamed. He happens to be Jewish. Rush Limbaugh has been blamed. Rush is pro-Israel. Rush is friends with Bibi. I've been friends with Bibi over two decades. I was friends with Shimon Peres, Ehud Barak, and many other Israeli leaders. Ron Dermer's a personal friend of mine. And it's pretty outrageous that this is, they feel justified in making any incendiary comment they want.
Well, that's right, and I think that's part of what we're going to test in this election, because the American people, I think, have a deeper sense of what's really threatening the country, and the American people, I believe, are prepared to reward a party and a movement which has the courage to try to save the country. And that's straightforward. And so I believe that next Tuesday we're going to learn a great deal about the nature of America. We're also going to learn, I think, that billionaire liberals can't buy elections because in the end people just shrug off their ads and say, that's not true. I don't believe it.
Why are you so confident in the election? Now, I feel pretty good about the Senate, but, you know, I guess it's because I'm Irish, but I always, going into elections, I always tell people it's really up to them. That's the case this election. Midterms, we have a headwind against us, historically speaking. Only three times in the last 100 years has the party in power in the White House been able to gain seats. It looks like we'll gain them in the Senate, but then we've got, you know, at least 30, 35 House races, mostly Republicans on defense. They're too close to call.
Well, I think that's right. You know, for a lot of different reasons. You know, it's interesting. The rise of the average everyday American who rebelled starting about 2010 with the Tea Party movement, had rebelled earlier with Ronald Reagan and with the Contract of America. That rebellion in many ways created Trump. Trump then reinforced and strengthened that rebellion, and the result is you now have states like North Dakota, Montana, Missouri, West Virginia, where there is a huge base that really believes that they're involved in a cause and that the cause is more than just everyday politics. And I think it's just fascinating to watch, because I think the media doesn't get it. So my newsletter that will come out tomorrow basically says, on the Senate side, this is over. If you're talking about a team sport, the Mitch McConnell, Donald Trump team is going to be in control of the Senate. And people can say, well, so what? Well, look, every judge for the next 2 years would have been blocked by Schumer. Just think about that. All of the work that's been done, which has been historic and amazing, would have come to a halt the minute the Democrats controlled the Senate. So just in terms of judgeships, this is a very consequential election. And I look at item after item after item, and I see that we are going to be in the Senate. And my guess is we're somewhere between plus three and a number I don't have the courage to say because it's too high. But I can see the...
Well, when have you ever not had the courage to speak your mind? That just is not true.
Well...
You know, listen,
no, but look,
I'm urging people to be cautious and act like you're behind, because I think we shouldn't take anything for granted. Like, I believe that Marsha Blackburn's going to win. I believe that Hawley's going to win in Missouri. I believe Heidi Heitkamp is done. I believe that Braun is going to win as long as people don't vote Libertarian in Indiana. I believe Dean Heller will hang on. And God help us if Kristen Sinema wins in Arizona, the woman who thinks it's okay to join the Taliban, for Americans to join the Taliban after 9/11, and every other bizarre thing she said about the people of Arizona, what she calls the meth lab of democracy, and the people are crazy. So I'm just hoping it happens that way. And then on the outside, you got Tester on the bubble. You even have Joe Manchin on a bubble in West Virginia, and Bob Menendez on a bubble.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Look at the different bubbles. You have Menendez in a very blue state where the Democrats should be safe, but his personal guilt with the Senate Ethics Committee on a bipartisan unanimous majority finding him guilty of a whole range of things and some very, very unsavory rumors that were built around all of that. So he's now in such bad shape that they're having to pour millions of dollars that they'd like to put somewhere else. They're now pouring it back into New Jersey because we have in Bob Hugin a really, really good candidate. He was a great CEO of a pharmaceutical company, understands healthcare, can help develop a sound, practical, working alternative to government-run healthcare. And Hugin may well, between his own bringing people out to vote and the campaign convincing Democrats that they're so sick of Menendez that they just stay home, that may actually save three or four House seats in New Jersey. That's the kind of dynamic where I can't figure out in my own head when you go from state to state to state how these things are evolving right now, because they're very lively. It's very much up in the air. And there are, I think, nobody listening to us should assume that this is over or that they can stay home. And if you have not gone out and voted, if you end up not having voted by Election Day, do not do anything else that day to vote. It's that serious.
Let me ask you this, because let's go with Real Clear Politics, and they have 204, the number of House seats that they think are safe for the Democrats, and about 199 for the Republicans. With the Republicans having the majority, all of those toss-ups puts them on defense. And you did have 45 retirements for the Republicans. That's a big number in any election year. The House is what I'm most worried about. And, you know, the thought of Nancy Pelosi being Speaker-elect and then Speaker of the House once again is a pretty frightening thought. Where do you see the House going?
Well, unfortunately, I my personal range is between a bottom of about 204, which would mean Pelosi was Speaker, and a high of around 229 or 230, which would mean that Kevin McCarthy, I think, would end up as Speaker. In all honesty, because, you know, I've always been candid about these things, I can't give you a more accurate number. I can't say to you.
Yeah, I can't either. I really can't. I mean, and I think, yeah. And look, the conventional wisdom is Republicans will hold the Senate, pick up seats there, and that Nancy Pelosi would win the House. That's not a great case scenario, but that would be sort of like a split decision by the American people. I'll also say one other thing is, you know, some House Republicans have earned the wrath of their voters, but it's really not about them. It's about stopping an agenda that we know is going to be about impeachment, endless investigation, raising taxes. They want their crumbs back, sanctuary cities, open borders, eliminating ICE and keeping Obamacare.
Look, anyone who does not vote has effectively voted for Nancy Pelosi to be Speaker. No one should kid themselves. If you do not want to have Nancy Pelosi in a hard left House and people like Congresswoman Waters in charge of the Financial Services Committee, which you can just say the phrase, it like, tells you how crazy their party is. How could you, again, she's a very smart lady, but she's not somebody I want to have watching over our banks and our financial service systems. And so you go down the list and you think to yourself, anybody who says, I'm tired of it all, I don't like the noise, et cetera, I'm not going to vote. Not voting is, in effect, a half vote for Nancy Pelosi to be the next speaker. I think that's what would really
Look, I'm telling people, there are 435 members of Congress. All of them are up for re-election. And every race is important. And the idea is, know this, if you either stay home or you vote for the Democrat, you're pretty much voting for Pelosi. The same in these Senate races. You know, you vote for John Tester, you vote for Claire McCaskill, you vote for Kristen Sinema, you vote for Bill Nelson, you vote for Bredesen in Tennessee, you're voting for Schumer. And I know that it's probably not the way these red state Democrats or the red state Republicans look at it, but in truth and in reality, that's how they're going to vote. That's who they're going to vote to be their leader.
Look, I just tell everybody, when you run into somebody who claims they're a moderate Democrat, ask who they're voting for leader. If they say, I'm a moderate Democrat in the House, oh, of course I'm going to vote for Nancy Pelosi, but, you know, I sort of have to do that. Fine. Defeat them. They're a liberal. If they say to you, oh, I'm really kind of a moderate Democrat, but, you know, I got to vote for Schumer, defeat them. I mean, who's kidding who here? And I think we have every evidence that this is a team sport, that the radical wing of the Democratic Party is in control of their party, that their leadership is just utterly unacceptable, and that I think we have an obligation to defeat them. And the way to defeat them is to make sure you vote.
Listen, I got to tell you, that's the main thing. Let me play for you some of the more recent comments. Let me play Joe Scarborough and Don Lemon and Allison Camerata. And this is what is representative of the news media today.
He's been playing the racist card. He said, I'm a nationalist. David Duke comes out the next day saying, thank you so much for finally admitting that you're a white nationalist. And then you have even some Republican backbenchers that are linking George Soros and these anti-Semitic threads to the caravan. You got Fox News talking about smallpox and leprosy coming up. It is, I'm sorry, I won't say specifically what regime this is out of, but go back and read your history books and look at some of the most abhorrent regimes of the 20th century. Might as well be certain countries talking about gypsies. Mm-hmm. It lines up historically exactly with what certain countries were talking about when they're talking about gypsies and Jews.
I think, you know, this president, one of the things that he really launched his presidential run on is talking about Islamic radicalization. And this president has radicalized so many more people than ISIS ever did. So I think the president has far more supporters who espouse an equally hateful ideology.
So we have to stop demonizing people and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized to the right. And we have to start doing something about them. There is no travel ban on them. There is no ban on, you know, they had the Muslim ban. There is no white guy ban. So what do we do about that?
Midterm messaging, we'll start with from the president. So he seems to be zeroing in on the two pillars of the media, continuing his vitriolic attacks against the media, and migrants. Mm-hmm. Continuing to, in fact, ratchet up the language about them. And frankly, I mean, I have to say it, using some of the same language that the mass murderer at the synagogue used in terms of invaders and invasion. These tragedies work at cross purposes with his narrative.
Right.
So it's hard for him to celebrate his narrative of vilifying migrants when, again, the alleged mass murderer did the same thing.
You've also at times gotten along with him, as you've known.
Who knew he was such a psycho? I liked the guy in a way. It was like, oh, he's a New York character. He's not a Republican or a Democrat. He's just an anarchist, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't mean that in an ad hominem sort of way.
All right, when we come back, Newt Gingrich responding to all of that. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. He's also going to take some of your calls next half hour. All right, so, Mr. Speaker, we'll let you respond to all that vitriol on the other side of this break. Why are you laughing?
Well, thanks a lot, friend.
I could have timed it out better if I was a professional.
Yeah, you dump 5 minutes of insanity and go, and when we get back, Newt will try to make sense of this.
When we get back, Newt will try to make sense of that. That's all coming up straight ahead. And we'll get your calls in on the other side as we continue. It's the Sean Hannity Show. All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. Newt Gingrich is with us. Well, we just played for him. Let's see, Joe Scarborough, Trump's immigration fear-mongering like the Nazis with the gypsies, et cetera, et cetera. Don Lemon, biggest terror threat in the country is white men radicalized to the right. Allison Camerota, Trump and synagogue shooter using the same language. And then Joy Behar, well, joyless in so many different ways and her radical statements. Look, this is now, I guess it's 6 days out of an election, and these people are unhinged and they're losing their minds because they feel invested. They want Trump to lose more than even Democrats do.
You know, let me take the most obvious and in some ways most infuriating comment in that list, and that is that the killer at the synagogue, who was crazy, was in fact deeply, viciously anti-Trump. He's not a pro-Trump at all. And to suggest any parallel between the two is just an utter, total falsehood. And that's why you get the term fake news, and that's why, you know, people believe that large elements of news media are opposed to the survival of America, which might be a better way to describe them than just being, you know, against the people. They're not necessarily enemies of the people, but many of them, frankly, I believe, are enemies of the survival of America as we've known it. And we ought to have that debate and get it out in the open. I think that Scarborough, who's lost his mind, just completely misunderstands the nature of Nazism and completely misunderstands any comparison of President Trump to any of the great totalitarians, Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Lenin, Mao Zedong. It's just a totally disgusting statement of falsehood that people should just knock down, and the people who say it ought to be held in total contempt. These were mass murderers, with the exception of Mussolini. The others literally are mass murderers. And when I saw, I think it was Max Mood who wrote in 2015 that he would rather vote for Joseph Stalin than vote for Donald Trump. And he's a good historian. He knows all this information. I just thought to myself, these people are so deranged that you can't reason with them. They need psychological help.
Well, I think it's obvious they need psychological help. There's no hope for them at all. Newt Gingrich is with us, 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. We're going to get some calls in here. 6 days out of the important midterm elections. We'll start in New York, the all-new 710 WOR, the talk of New York, New Jersey, Long Island. What's going on, John? How are you? Say hi to Speaker Gingrich.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Pleasure to speak to both of you. Since there is no birthright in the 14th Amendment, the pathway for these immigrants would be let the Democrats and the liberals sponsor illegal families. They come into this country, and they're responsible to let them learn English, get them jobs, get them educated, get them medical and health. Let them put their money where their mouth is, and let them adopt these families so that they can earn their pathway to citizenship instead of just walking across the border. What do you think?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker.
Well, look, I think that's a pretty, frankly, it's a pretty reasonable statement of where we are and of how we could approach it. In terms of birthright itself, there is no provision in the 14th Amendment which in any way requires people who are born outside the jurisdiction of the law to be considered as citizens. And it was very clear there were debates on it in the Congress at the time. It's clear if you read the constitutional amendment, it's very clear what it means. I personally think the president's far better off to challenge the Congress to repeal it rather than do it just as a presidential executive order, because as an executive order, the next president could reverse it. But if you turned it into a law, it would be a pretty hard law, I think, to change once it got adopted. And it's a healthy debate for us to have as a country because it comes back to exactly the same challenge as the caravans. Are we a nation? Are we allowed to define who is an American? Are we in a position where we can say to people who are not American, you have to meet some test to be considered to be eligible to serve as a citizen of the United States. These are very fundamental questions about the very nature of our society, and I think it's a very healthy thing for us to have that kind of conversation.
All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Back to our phones. We go to Aurora, Colorado. Shelley, you're on the Sean Hannity Show with Speaker Gingrich. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Greetings from Colorado. Hi, Sean. Hey, Mr. Speaker. I actually want to take a minute and talk to all the parents and grandparents out there of millennials and young Generation X voters. We as parents and grandparents cannot be complacent if our adult children or grandchildren are not showing any interest in voting. We need to do all we can do to educate them on the importance and the seriousness of this election and all that's at stake. And, Sean, I've been using your talking points to convince my adult children that every single vote is important and what's at risk if they don't vote. And here in our house, we turned two votes into five, and then possibly even more because our kids took the message to their friends, their college classmates, and some of them ended up voting as well. So a couple weeks ago, I spent 3 hours on the road driving a mail-in ballot to my adult child who's a student at University of Colorado just to make sure that that one single vote is cast and counted. So, hey, everybody, do whatever it takes to get their vote in. Offer to drive them to vote in person, pay for their Uber, pay for FedEx to mail that absentee or mail-in ballot to make sure that it gets counted. And trust me, the future of them will thank us.
Well, thanks for the call, you know, Mr. Speaker.
I wish every parent was that serious about making sure that their children vote and making sure that they understand the issues that they're going to be voting on. I think that's a great statement that you just made.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. We go to Arkansas, Mary Beth on the Sean Hannity Show with Speaker Gingrich. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on? How are you?
Hey, I am a grandmother. And I'm, you know, this caravan coming over, what bothers me is they just let people go in and they never make their court dates. And my grandson was sent home because his inoculation record was not brought up to date. Do they just let these people in without any inoculations? I mean, why isn't the CDC or somebody getting upset about this?
Well, listen, I want to be very clear because I think a lot of people have... I think that's almost been used as like a scare tactic of people. Let me tell you what I think, Mr. Speaker, see if you agree with this. You know, I think the 99% of people that were in that caravan, they see America as the land of milk and honey and opportunity, which we kind of take for granted sometimes as Americans. And I'm sure that 99.8% of them are probably good people that just want a better life. We can't vouch for any of those people. In terms of, are there enemies of America that have mixed themselves into that group? The idea that we're going to have 5, 7, 14,000, whatever the numbers are, different estimates from everybody, just get to our border and charge across. There's no respect for American law, our Constitution, our sovereignty. We don't know. We need to be able to vet people. I believe in a border wall with a door. Because we just want to make sure the people that come to this country can sustain themselves. And secondly, I want to make sure that they're not enemies of this country and we can vet them. That's all. It's for the safety and security of everyone that is a citizen here.
You know, I think that's basically right. And I think part of what people fail to realize is that the great historic period of American immigration, which really made us the extraordinary country that we are, that period began when there was no welfare state. So people who came to America expecting to work, and they came to America expecting to learn English. And I think that as the welfare state grew and as liberalism grew, all of those basic patterns of integrating people so that they became American were laughed at and put to one side by people who had no interest in what the United States was all about.
Yeah, back to our phones. Mark is in Hudsonville on the Sean Hannity Show with Newt Gingrich. How are you?
Hey, Sean. Hey, Sean, Mr. Speaker. Pleasure to talk to you both.
What's going on?
Yeah, I just want to validate what a couple other callers said. Is it's just so important to vote. You know, my son, who's 26, we've been watching ever since President Trump came down the escalator, announced that he was running for president, and I've watched your show, Fox News, been keeping him posted and educating him on the true differences between the two parties and whatnot. And to get these younger folks out to vote is just so critical and crucial. Their livelihood and their lives are going to be ultimately changed in a way that, you know, I'm 56 years old. He's 26. I got a 28-year-old son. Their lives, my grandchildren, are ultimately going to be changed in a direction that is just going to be so incredibly different than what we're enjoying right now with President Trump. So it's just, in my eyes, mm-hmm. so important to get that younger voter out to vote and vote for their future.
Well, it's hard to get that through to young people, to be very blunt about it. And young people have a very different perspective, and politics is usually not their first love. I think I was a bit of an anomaly in love with politics at a young age, and I know Newt Gingrich was as well, more of a historian professor. But I think that this, you know, to get young people to realize that there is a lot at stake about their future, I agree with that.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Get up in the face of some Congress people.
I want to send the military to the White House to get him.
You know, I had a dream the other night about that I was playing golf with Donald Trump, and I was standing beside him with a club in my hand, and I was, you know, considering my options when I suddenly woke up. You know, it was one of those dreams where you want to just get back to sleep so you can finish it, you know?
Put Mr. Burgess up against Sean Hannity. He'll tear him up. I need you to go out and talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors. I want you to talk to them whether they're independent or whether they are Republican. I want you to argue with them and get in their face. And
press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish you were in high school. I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets.
Ordinary people who simply saw what needed to be done and came together and supported those ideals who have made the difference. They've marched. They've bled. Yes, some of them have died. This is hard. Every good thing is. We have done this before. We can do this again.
As far as I'm concerned, the Tea Party can go straight to hell.
In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster.
Oh, Ivanka's going to be our saving grace. You know, when he's about to nuke Finland or something, she's going to walk into the bedroom and, you know, yeah, daddy. Don't do it, daddy. Yeah.
He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bullshit artist, a mutt. He's an idiot. I'd like to punch him in the face.
Trump. It's no longer down with Trump. It's Trump.
But Michelle says that, you know, when they go low, we go high. No. When they go low, we kick them. That's what this new Democratic Party is about.
America's going to make a choice. There is now a movement that has evolved, Mr. Speaker. I would argue from moderate Democrats are extinct. It is one party, one voice, leaning solidly socialist left versus those that believe in our constitutional republic, limited government, greater freedom, less government intrusion into our lives. I think that is the fundamental disagreement.
Well, it's a vision of two totally different Americas. You know, their America is one in which we don't teach American history. We don't learn to be American. We're not proud of the flag. No sense of the power emotionally of the Star Spangled Banner. You know, we're just one more normal country that ought to be subordinated to the UN and international bureaucrats. And because we're the wealthiest country in the world, We ought to be paying huge amounts of money to other folks because they'd like to be wealthy, too. And isn't it kind of sad that they don't have the money that they'd like to have? I mean, it's amazing to watch and to realize how serious these folks are and how much they would basically undermine America for the purpose of their ideology.
There's a lot at stake. I think the most, you know, if you really pay close attention, the Democrats stand for nothing except hating Trump, wanting their crumbs back, open borders, not anything that's going to improve the lives of the forgotten men and women in this country. But, Mr. Speaker, you spent a lot of time with us today. We really appreciate it. Thank you. And 6 days now till Election Day. I'm sure we'll talk before the election and afterwards and get your take on the results. So thanks for being with us.
Okay. Look forward to it.
All right. 800-941-SHAWN is our number.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload in the final hour of the Sean Hannity Show.
Katie Porter and her special interest attacks are just false. The truth is, I led the fight that's grown our economy and saved you money. That extra money in your paycheck, Nancy Pelosi called it crumbs. Katie Porter calls it a scam. The truth is, they want government in charge of our health care and will raise your taxes by trillions to pay for it. I'm fighting to lower health care costs and protect your Medicare. I'm Amy Walters, and I approve this message because the truth is, we can't afford Katie Porter's liberal agenda.
Now, we have identified the 30 top races that will tip the balance of power in the House. According to most pundits, most experts, most pollsters, the House is where the Democrats have the greatest chance of taking control, which would mean Nancy Pelosi would be Speaker. And, yeah, they want their crumbs back and sanctuary cities and states and eliminate ICE and open borders. And, yeah, they love that Obamacare. And, of course, the impeach Trump, attack Trump investigations would be nonstop. One of those, there's actually about six or seven seats out in California, Southern California, Dana Rohrabacher's old seat. Or his seat, he's up for re-election. That's a tight race. Also, Orange County, San Diego, it's becoming very important in California, of all places. Although Gavin Newsom is running a particularly poor campaign, offering the world free health care. And then it would be like Darrell Issa's old seat. That is also going to tip the balance of power. There's about six or seven of these races. Mimi Walters now represents the 45th District of California, and she herself has a pretty tough race there. One of the other things that we're watching is former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has been pouring a fortune into California congressional races. He's pumping $8.6 million into television ads, attacking a pair of Southern California Republicans. That's an awful lot of money for any couple of races. He's going to spend more than $100 million helping Democrats take back Congress, $4.1 million against our friend Dana Rohrabacher, $4.5 million to oppose Stephen Knight, Lancaster, Los Angeles County, and also apparently is involved in this Mimi Walters race, who joins us now. Is he really pouring that much money into Southern California?
Oh, yes. Millions upon millions. Listen, the only reason that we in Orange County are seen as targeted is because, as you mentioned, Nancy Pelosi wants the gavel back. And the only way that she's going to get that gavel back is through California. And in Orange County and in my district, it was the first time in 80 years since FDR ran for president did we have a Democrat nominee for president win Orange County. And so the Democrats think we're vulnerable, and that's why they have zeroed in on us.
Well, this is really interesting because most Republicans, you don't think of California races being that important. But now it's become crucial in terms of, you know, we've identified all of these races on our website, Hannity.com, that they're really focused in, and which means it could be a very late night or early morning before we eventually get to know who controls the House come next January. And it could be Nancy Pelosi. This is a real threat. And I think a real possibility, I would say, the fact that you have 204 safe Democratic seats, 199 safe Republican seats, and all of these 30-some-odd toss-ups are Republicans on defense. That means they pretty much have to run the table, and that's why they're spending all this money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So tell us about, you know, what are the issues there? Do you think the people in your district, the 45th District of California, are paying attention and are being influenced by the money and the negative ads?
Yeah, it's a real clear choice in this race. I mean, you have a district where do people want to continue to move America forward? I mean, we have the lowest unemployment in 49 years, as you know, and in Orange County, it's the lowest unemployment in 19 years. People have more money in their paycheck. People are able to get jobs. Consumer confidence is up. I mean, we are really moving this country in the right direction. So the choice is clear. Do you want to continue moving America forward, or do you want to go back to the Obama era, to where you had overregulation, where you had high taxes, where you had government in your life? I think it's a clear choice. And what we're seeing right now on the early returns is that the Republicans are just as energized as the Democrats are. And in fact, in my district, we have over a 14-point advantage on the absentees being returned over the Democrats. So we aren't seeing this so-called blue wave that you hear about. We see that our voters are just as energized.
Well, I think, look, if you look at the Senate, Republicans have a decided advantage in a lot of these races where they're red states that support Trump by big margins. But the House is just harder to figure. And I don't know if people fully, completely understand that there are a lot of headwinds. History runs against the party in power. They had 45 retirements. That's the case, for example, of Darrell Issa's seat. And I, you know, I'm assuming with gerrymandering and the legislature out there in California, they do everything they could possibly do to maximize the number of Democratic seats from the state. And so it makes it particularly hard for people like yourself that have done a good job and want to do a good job for the people in your state and in your district. But, you know, you're fighting against a state that has a 13.5% income tax with a Democratic governor or Democratic lieutenant governor running for governor who wants free health care for anybody, whether you're a California resident or not, whether you're a citizen or not.
It's a very challenging environment to be from California and representing California. Even more important reasons why we need to make sure our voters get out and vote so that we don't lose any Republican seats. We have 14 members of Congress right now, and the Democrats have 39. And so it is really, really important that we hold our seats. We've got to turn this state around. You're absolutely right. I mean, the liberal policies that come out of Sacramento and Jerry Brown and now possibly Gavin Newsom, it is getting more and more affordable to live in the state, and we need to have it get to a point where that pendulum swings back. And I'm going to continue to fight for my constituents and continue to fight for Californians until we can.
One of the problems is that you will ever have swinging it back is people are so fed up with the regulations and high taxation of states like California, New York, Illinois, New Jersey, is they are leaving and they're taking their money with them. And, you know, my only fear is when they go to Texas or Florida or the Carolinas or maybe in a lot of cases, Nevada, that they leave their liberal policies with them when they leave and don't bring the failed policies that they voted for in their states. Because if you look at it, it's become unsustainable for young people in California. They can't afford to buy a first home. They can't afford the high rate of taxes unless, like, you're in Silicon Valley making crazy money.
You're absolutely right. You know, one hope I have is that Supreme Court decision, Janus versus AFSCME, where, you know, if you're a member of a union, you no longer have to pay your dues. The unions control Sacramento. And if we are allowed to have a couple election cycles, we may start to see that money go out of the hands of the unions. That may give us a fighting chance at some point in the future in the state of California.
Well, I got to tell you something. There is a fighting chance. I wish you the best out there. I hope people are paying attention. Southern California, you now have, and this is the headline, which I think is pretty scary, Michael Bloomberg spending millions for California Democrats in tight races. And one other article came out and said literally spending $9 million just on Southern California. So we wish you all the best. This is Mimi Walters, California's 45th district. And I wish you the best on Election Day, and Dana Rohrabacher and all these other Republicans in Southern California. These races all will tip the balance of power. And if you vote for anybody that's a Democrat out there, if you're swayed by these ads, you're pretty much voting for Pelosi. I hope the people in those districts understand that. So anyway, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
All right. Hope it works out for you. It's not fun running for office. Who wants to run for office these days? All right, let's get to our phones. We have so much going on today. 6 days out of Election Day. Let's go to Mary is in upstate New York. Mary, hi, how are you? Glad you called. Well, New York's on the verge of reelecting Cuomo, and Cuomo hasn't done a thing for upstate New York. And the fact that Pennsylvania takes all of the natural gas from New York and they're allowed to frack, and you see the economy booming on the other side of that border, and here we could be literally creating wealth beyond our wildest expectation, is pretty sad.
It's very sad.
Yeah. So what's going on?
And I'm in that business as well. So for me, that's ridiculous. I was talking to you a few years ago. As a matter of fact, it was 5 years ago today, on the healthcare situation, because when they rolled out the Affordable Care Act, it became affordable for no one that I know of, especially myself. I told you then my husband had gotten kicked off my plan, and I paid extra, and I'm getting less coverage, and there's tests that I've had that are no longer covered. And yesterday I had to sit down to do my 2019 elections, went up yet again, and less coverage, getting dinged for tests and things that used to be covered. And I'm just, I want everybody to get out there and vote, because we need to continue on our path and get rid of the Affordable Care Act and, you know, overhaul that. And yeah, I agree with you on that fracking point as well, but I actually was calling to talk about the health care.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's everybody that is now on the Democratic side, they're running on, oh, we're going to fix health care. We're going to fix health. I'm like, you're the same idiots that gave us Obamacare. Keep your doctor, keep your plan, save less. And fundamentally, it's been
true.
A failure. And the
none
fact
that was true.
None of it was true. It's one of the biggest lies ever told and perpetrated on the American people. But anyway, Mary, thank you. I wish the people in upstate New York would get the prosperity that they deserve. It could be done instantaneously if they would allow fracking up in upstate New York. All right, as we continue, let's head back to our busy telephones. Bella is in Minneapolis. Bella, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Thank you so much, Sean. I don't know if you remember in 2009, I called into your show. It was the very first time I'd ever called into any talk radio. And you were teasing me about Bella and Twilight. And I told you to get Trump for president. That was in 2009.
Is that true? I don't remember, but I do remember a Bella calling and me talking about the Twilight series. That I remember. I guess it was pretty, it was one of the hottest movies at the time, right?
Well, I didn't know what you were talking about. And then I said to you, I'm like, I only watch Fox. And then the last time that I talked to you, well, okay. So the last time I talked to you was a couple days before the inauguration.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not a big Twilight fan. The only reason I do have kids, you know, I'm not really into vampires and Kristen Stewart. I'm not, you know. And werewolves.
You had me so nervous because I didn't know what you were talking about. But, Sean, I talked to you a couple days before the inauguration, and I don't know if you remember, but I told you that you inspired me to sit in my pickup truck every night, and you were like, wow, what kind of inspiration is that? Can I tell you what you inspired me to do?
I'd love to. Tell me. I love inspiring people.
Okay. So I ran around telling everybody that I got on your show, and everybody was like, were you nervous? Were you afraid? And I thought, no, but what I realized was when we're talking about the young and how are we going to get people to tune in to conservative talk radio, I left, went out to Williston, North Dakota,
right,
worked in the oil field, and
wow.
In the evening, I came in after scrubbing toilets. I started my own cleaning business out there. I had a cleaning and catering and hot shop business.
Right.
Yeah, so I come in at night and I would sit in my truck because that's where I could contain the audio. And I created the Bella D'Angelo show, and it was created for people that don't normally listen to talk radio. So the silent majority, 18-year-old roughnecks, 60-year-old black liberal women were listening to my show. And at the highlight of it, I had a following of like 20, 30 some thousand.
That's awesome.
Internationally as well. Yeah. That's
good for you. Well, let me ask you this.
I'm back here in Minneapolis, and right. We might actually go red and do the job that we need to do and prove to Trump that we 100%, 150% support him, because it's massive, this Trump train. And some stats, Jim Newberg has closed the gap for Klobuchar. Wardlow is 13% higher than Ellison. There's some really good signs here for going red in Minneapolis.
Well, the last thing is I want to remind people there are very important house races in Minneapolis, in Minnesota for this race that are going to tip the balance of power, like Southern California. It's interesting. New York, New Jersey, places like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, California, you know, states you wouldn't expect. That's where a lot of these toss-up races that I keep talking about are. Look, let me ask you a question. When you moved to North Dakota and you did this radio show and you started your own business, did you make a lot more money?
Yeah, I mean, we were in such a bad recession in Minneapolis, and when I moved out there, I mean, the excitement and all the jobs. And I got to say, I want to give a shout out to the oil field because, contradictory to what a lot of people hear about a boom and Williston, I met some of the finest people in the world and the most hardworking, and I got to live the American dream, which really didn't exist back then, but Trump has brought that back. And the other thing that the oil field did, they really built the show with me. And if you go to Bella D'Angelo, D-A-N-G-E-L-O.net, that's where you can, my MP3 file is on there, Sean, of me being on the air with you, telling you to get Trump. And then I was explaining what
I got to run, but let me tell you something. I want to encourage you to keep going and doing what you're doing, following your dreams, and lots of great things are going to continue to happen. And I'm counting on you to carry the state of Minnesota for us. All right. Thank you, though, Bella. Call back again.
Stuck in traffic lately? Well, Kim Schreier, a.k.a. Dr. Tax, wants to keep you there. Dr. Tax wants a 57 cents a gallon gas tax. That's right, 57 cents. But here's the kicker. Her gas tax won't ease congestion or fix roads. A gas tax and none of the money used for roads? Where's the logic in that? Of course, that's not her only tax. Schreier wants a full government takeover of healthcare, ending Medicare as we know it. The price tag for that one? $32 trillion. That's $32 trillion with a T. Schreier wants to raise your income taxes $2,800. And to top it all off, Dr. Tax wants a new personal state income tax. A gas tax, a health care tax, a federal income tax increase, and a new personal state income tax? Whew, that's a lot of taxes. Unless, of course, you're Kim Schreier. Kim Schreier, Dr. Tax. Prescriptions so costly, they need a warning label.
I'm Dino Rossi, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Dino for Congress.
When I wrote the bill to put ignition locks in the cars of chronic DUI offenders, it became law, because both sides work together. When I wrote another bill to put child molesters away for life, that became law too, because both sides work together. I never cared who got the credit, it just needed to get done. I'm Dino Rossi. I approve this message because you can accomplish a lot when you don't care who gets the credit.
All right, that is a Dino Rossi ad, 25 now till the top of the hour, running for office, Washington State's 8th District. And, well, he's kind of familiar with how dirty politics can be, fighting for the people of Washington State, which is, you know, fairly liberal in a lot of ways, like California, its neighbor, and Oregon, its neighbor. Anyway, he was certified governor-elect twice in 2004. Then King County literally discovered brand new ballots that broke overwhelmingly for the Democrat, and they counted them, despite the fact that it was clear in that case, at least my reading of it, that some felons and ineligible people had actually voted, and King County's election control systems had been sloppy, but you had, you know, groups like Move On and others, you know, paying for a recount of the ballots, and they found enough new votes that were not counted to we're not connected to voters to swing the election. Is that pretty accurate what happened, Dina?
Yeah, actually, King County had more votes than voters, and they flipped it by 129 votes out of 2.8 million votes cast.
Slow down. How could you have more votes than voters and it be counted?
That's what we questioned as well. And the Democrat-appointed judges here decided that we were going to have to prove how those votes were actually cast.
Well, why wouldn't you just use a little calculator? So you have this number of voters and this number of votes, and they don't add up, and that would be, well, election fraud.
Yeah, well, he called it sloppy, is what he called it, and then ruled against us.
Let's talk about the 8th District out there in Washington State. And, you know, How do you view the race that you're in? Because you're on our list of toss-ups, and that will tip the balance of power in 6 days.
Well, this is one of those 23 seats that Hillary Clinton won in 2016 that a Republican currently holds. So Nancy Pelosi thinks it's her pathway back to the speakership. And this has been the most expensive race, House race in America at this point. I think she spent more money against me than any other person in America. Bloomberg's weighing in with another $2 or $3 million in this last week as well. You know, in many cultures, you're known by your adversary, Sean, and I'm proud of mine.
Well, you know, I mean, the same thing we were talking earlier to Mimi Waters, Walters. She's in California's 45th district, but I think this Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, is spending some $9 million alone in Southern California. And how much have they poured into the race of negative ads against you?
It's been mind-boggling. I'm about spent 2-1 at this point. I've been outspent 2-1. But the good news is people know me. That helps. And so, you know, the lies that they tell really aren't fitting the narrative. But we're all mail-in state. All ballots have been out for a week and a half now. And right. So every day is election day. Every day is election day. I got the most left-wing opponent I have ever had. You know, she woke up the day after Hillary lost and decided that she needed to be a member of Congress and has marched in more angry protests in Seattle than parades in the district. You know, thinks that hating the president is somehow a qualification to be a member of Congress. But, Sean, I think we're all hoping for more than that, aren't we?
You get it. Well, of course we are. We want to help the forgotten men and women, and you have a trajectory of success that I think has been unparalleled, as quick as any politician has promised stuff and make those promises happen.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. That's essentially what she's running on, and so we've been doing everything. You know, I've even going door to door. I think over 8,000 houses personally on my second pair of shoes. We need people to come make phone calls, doorbell with us, volunteer, contribute, you know, DinoRossi.com, come help.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you get a day-by-day return in terms of Republican, Democrat, or do they not give that information out daily?
We don't register by party in our state, so it's only based upon what we've ID'd. And our people are voting, but so are theirs. We really have to get a match them. So we really got to get our people to mail in the ballots. Anybody listening to us right now, if you haven't sent in your ballot, do it now. Get your family to do it. Call your friends. Get it in. Because the sooner it comes in, the sooner we can take it off our list, and we can get to the hard cases who may or may not vote unless we talk to them.
Well, she's just running basically on hate, as you said. So that's the main difference. She wants Obamacare, let me guess. She wants to impeach the president. She wants open borders. She wants the crumbs back. Anything else that's any different from the rest of the checklist of every other Democrat running?
Well, that is the checklist. We have a few other things that that were in the ad. Obviously, we don't have a state income tax in our state. She favors that. It's been turned down 9 times by the public here, but she's still on that bandwagon. You know, and she thanks me all the time for not being a fan of Obamacare. When Obamacare came in, I lost my health care for myself, my wife, and my 4 children, and I ended up with a lousy plan that cost 2.5 times as much, didn't cover things I wanted covered, covered things I didn't want covered, and a $12,000 family deductible on top of that. You know, my goal is to have as many health insurance companies chasing people around for their business we can possibly get, so you can decide what's in your plan versus some bureaucrat or politician deciding for you. It's called freedom.
Well, listen, we wish you the best. Dino Rossi, that is the difference in this between Republicans and a conservative agenda or the radical left agenda of Nancy Pelosi. I keep reminding people, a vote for any Democrat anywhere in the country is a vote for her. And it is, because they'll elect her speaker. And a vote for any Democrat in the Senate, well, that's pretty much a vote for Schumer. So I hope the people in Washington State's 8th district get out there for Dino Rossi. I know you've done a good job and you've worked hard, and sadly you have to take all of this incoming. It's pretty pathetic, but thank you so much for being with us, and we wish you all the best. This is one of those races, the Washington State 8th District, where this is the tipping point. The balance of power is right there if you're in Dino Rossi's district. All right, sir, thank you. Wish you the best.
Thank you very much, Sean. Take care.
All right, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. Well, you've been telling me all day that you want to do something funny and that you're not even paying attention to the show.
Well, I was going to say goodbye to our guest, but by all means, let's talk.
Well, about what? What would you all day you've been threatening, I'm going to say something funny. What is it?
It's funny to me. I think it's funny. I think our audience will love it. I want to do a poll.
On Hannity.com.
Perhaps. And I was thinking,
by the way, Hannity.com, where we have all the toss-up races and all the Senate races.
We have the 30 most important races. So if you are out there and you're a registered Republican, you need to go to Hannity.com and look at the 30 most important races in the country. We also have an interactive map, which has all 70 races available for you to see everything.
Okay.
But the
and it's right
most,
at the top. When
it's,
you...
it's in the carousel. It's the first story. You
first
can't
story.
Miss it. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 800-941-SHAWN.
Say it again. It's the first story?
The first story.
First?
First story.
First. Say Singapore.
Singapore.
Singapore. It's not Singapore. Say coffee.
Coffee.
It's not coffee.
It's coffee.
It's...
It is coffee.
Say talk.
You know what somebody said to me yesterday?
Talk.
So yesterday, talk. I answered the phone, and this guy was calling from Texas, and he had a nice comment, but it took him 13 years to get there. So I said, sir, please, can we speed this up a little bit? And he goes, listen, baby cakes, I'm from Texas. This is how I talk.
Yeah.
You're from New York. I hear you. You talk real fast. And that's just the way it's going to be. I was like, you know what? Click. Nobody calls me baby cakes. So anyways.
Oh.
That's right. Baby, maybe.
Wait a minute. You're
cakes?
The last person I would think that would get insulted at anything said
well,
like
baby
that.
Well, baby is fine. Sweetheart, darling, honeybee, sugar pie. I like all of those. But baby cakes?
Sugar pie, honey bunch. We can make
good
a song,
song
about
right?
that.
Jinx.
Oh, there we go.
So anyways, I was thinking that
it'll
it would
be a long
really
story.
Fun.
Go ahead.
It's a good story.
All right, go.
You keep interrupting. You're
Sorry.
A talk show host. You're terrible at listening. Although, no. actually, you're not terrible.
When you're on my time,
that's right.
I can reclaim it.
My time. Just think
go
about
ahead.
Maxine Waters as the head of financial committee. Just think about that for 1 second. Just brief diversion. So I was thinking it might be nice if on election night you hosted your own show. And I think we should take a poll and see if America would like to see you host your own show.
Okay. Well, what you're saying is, which has been a fact all my 23 years at Fox, is I don't work on election night.
This is true.
And it's all Fox, the news division that takes over. And I went 1 year. I went in and, you know, I was on for 5 minutes and I'm like, I want to be home alone and I want to have my 3 TV sets or 4, depending if I can set up another one in the meantime. And my 6 computers, and I want to do what I always do. I want to be looking at percentages and finding out beforehand whether we're winning or losing. Now, the former president of Fox News, Bill Shine, can attest to the fact and has emails to the fact that I have called it right before anybody else every single election year because, you know, I'm sitting there looking at, let's see, Cuyahoga County and Palm Beach County and the Panhandle and Southwest Florida. And I can figure out usually Broward County, all these important counties, whether or not Republicans are going to win or lose. Now, this is a little tougher because of the different congressional races. My guess is it's going to be late into the morning before we can ascertain who maintains control of the House, in large part because California matters. Southern California, we've been featuring these 7 important races. They're on our list on Hannity.com, the 30 most important races, 70 total important races, although they're all important. And I'm just not sure people understand what a Speaker Pelosi means.
2 heartbeats away, and you have a woman who says we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it.
Yeah.
If that's what you want running your country, then by all means, stay home.
Listen, at the end of the day, we'll deal with whatever it is.
I'm going to rage.
Well, you can rage away as long as it's not against me. I don't really care.
I'm going to be so mad at Republicans if they don't go out and vote.
It's going to be very,
listen,
very exciting. But
she sounds so excited.
Well, she's
so
already picked out the drape. She thinks she's got this thing covered. I'm not so sure. One of the unknown factors, the greatest hope for Republicans, in my opinion, is that it absolutely, there is an unknown Trump factor. All bets are off because I don't think Trump supporters are the type of people that are going to answer anybody's call for any poll ever. I know if anyone calls me, I never get called for a poll. And polls, you know, I look at them. I know what conventional wisdom is. I read Real Clear Politics every day. You know, Nate Silver has it at 85% Democrats take the House. But I also know that they got it wrong in 2004, 2014, and 2016. And not only did they get it wrong, they did it in a colossal, spectacular way. So I'm just saying to the American people, don't be swayed by polls. Don't be dispirited if you think you can't win. Assume that you're behind and go out there on the field. That's why we play the game. And, you know, sometimes your favorite team wins and sometimes your favorite team loses. I didn't particularly enjoy election nights in 2008
yeah,
and 2012.
Yeah, but you cannot complain if you don't vote. So go out and vote.
Well, I can complain because I'm basically...
I'm not talking about you. Everybody knows you vote.
It has nothing to do with the voting. All we can do is inform people.
It has everything to do with the voting.
No, it has everything to do with everybody. My vote is meaningless in New York for the most part.
No, we know. We're in a blue state, so we do the best we can.
But I'm still voting.
We still vote.
I vote every year.
We do our civic duty.
But I am saying, look at where it's important. Look at what states. The president's doing everything. He's now doing 8 states and 11 rally blitz.
California, Florida, Iowa, Ohio, we need you. Go.
Go. And, you know, at the end, for example, we sucked up Obama for 8 years. It wasn't good for the country. You know, we would suck up Nancy Pelosi as speaker one more time, but I'd rather not. I'd rather keep the progress that we've made the last 2 years going, keep the momentum going. But we'll deal with it either way. There are 3 possible outcomes. Total victory, split decision, House and Senate, or a horrible night. You decide. The American people have the power. Kennedy tonight coming up at 9 Eastern. We have Martha McSally. She's running in Arizona. Marsha Blackburn, Tennessee. John James, I'll tell you, he is the future of the Republican Party running in Michigan, and he has cut the lead down to just 6 points in that race. Also, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Tammy Bruce, Ed Henry, Sarah Carter, Monica Crowley. Loaded up. Best election coverage on television tonight at 9. We'll see you then back here tomorrow.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.